Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:37 Irish Summer Time. Today is September 22nd. Well, this has been another very interesting day in here. Still plenty of rock and roll in the markets. There has been some rather exciting activity, particularly in the commodity markets. And the main piece of news out there continues to be the rescue package that's been put together for the bad debt sitting on bank balance sheets. And I've seen figures everything from 500 billion, 700 billion, up to 2.2 trillion being mooted for what the fund size is going to have to be in here today. And it is a bit of a sideline issue because, yes, there is going to be a huge amount of money pumped into this, and it is going to look like an enormous loss. But a lot of these assets, which are being marked at are being marked to market at pretty much zero in here at the moment. But they're not worth zero. There are still plenty of people paying off their mortgages over time. And while the delinquency rate is around 6%, if my statistics bear me right, that still means that there is in excess of 90% of people paying off their mortgages. So yes, it is a big problem, but a lot of these asset-backed securities, which will eventually be sold off quite cheaply, will probably redeem well in excess of what they're bought for. So there are going to be lots and lots of bargains in the credit markets and the asset-backed markets over the coming year once this institution is formed and they begin to collate the various debts they're going to take on from banks and how they're going to be then sold off. But markets are obviously nervous because what this is initially going to result in is a ballooning of the national debt. And we're talking, ones with lots and lots of zeros after them in terms of how much money is going to have to be pumped into the markets and is already being pumped into the markets. We had a fantastic short covering rally last week. Thursday and Friday were very pivotal days, and we saw the FTSE, for example, rallying almost 10%. Now, what we've seen in here today is a little bit of reticence creeping in, and you have the S&P down almost 4%, the Nasdaq in excess of 4%, the Dow over 3%. So still remarkably volatile conditions in here at the moment, and certainly a lot of anxiety still in the markets about the final shape of any plan and just how effective it will be in bailing out the financial sector. And will that bailout of the financial sector be at the cost of higher taxes or higher interest rates? Because the money for that fund will have to be borrowed. It's not like it can essentially be printed out of nowhere. So that leads on to why commodities have been doing so well in here today. Part of that reason, of course, is because they're going to be printing just so much money, and the value of the dollar is going to be depreciating. They're essentially going to inflate their way out of this problem. And while deflation is certainly the concern of the day, there is, I think, an appreciation that inflation is going to be a problem further down the line with the amount of liquidity that is being currently added into markets. Oil surged in here today and it hit $130 on that front month contract. But this was the last trading day, and I only just noticed this before I started recording. This was the last trading day of the October contract. So obviously there must have been shorts in there who were forced to close on the final day of trading. And at one point oil had hit $130. But on the next month, in the November contract, we are currently at $108. So yes, oil had a very good day today and it was up $6. You're going to see that contract rolling forward in here tomorrow, and we'll have oil at about $109. So yes, it has moved very significantly from that $90 level, and that is a near-term low, potentially a medium-term low, and oil is quite likely to move higher before consolidating some of this very good gain that it has had. It remains unlikely that we're going to see oil, excuse me, that we're going to see oil push right back up towards $150 and make significant new highs just because of how consistent that move was on the upside. The breaking of the consistency, a massive downdraft in excess of 35%. And it's going to just take time for oil to recoup, build support before it can generate a really meaningful rally. But what we're getting right now is certainly some short covering, and I think that there is a good chance it could go higher before it starts to go sideways and consolidate some of this very good gain. I think today's move was an anomaly to a certain extent because of it was the last day of trading in the oil contract. We actually saw something very similar in soybeans a couple of weeks ago, where the final day of trading in, if my memory serves me correctly, it was either the August or the September contract, had an incredible surge on the final day of trading, but that did not feed through into the subsequent month. So we could easily see something like that in the oil price over the next couple of days, where that big spike in here today was just a one-off anomaly. But what we are seeing is that there is a flow of funds back into the commodity sector. The massive amount of liquidity that's being pumped into the markets, and we've seen increasing numbers of countries banning shorting of financial shares. The list is certainly getting up there. We have rules in the US, in the UK, in Ireland banning shorting. Well, in the US it's naked shorting. In the UK it's all shorting. I think it's all shorting of financial, sorry, in the UK it's all shorting of financial shares. In Ireland I think it's all shorting of financial shares. But in Australia it's all shorting. And in Russia it's the same thing. We've also had moves to ban the shorting of financials and insurance companies in Germany and in Canada. So lots of countries jumping on this bandwagon, and that is certainly, I've just pulled up the list on Bloomberg. We also have new rules in Austria, Taiwan, and France. So that is a longer list than it was when I looked at it this morning. And we are certainly seeing lots of countries jumping on this bandwagon in an attempt to support the financial markets. That's very meaningful, and I think there is a very good chance that even though markets are a bit weaker in here today, that the lows that we saw last week are at least near-term lows, and we are in for a rally of some sort over the coming weeks. If, however, I'm wrong and markets break down below those mid or the lows from last week, then I think it's very likely we're going to see further moves by the central bankers of the world, because they're doing everything they can to support this market in here right now. And since they've banned shorting in various different forms in various countries, they can go further. Basically, what you have now is that shorters, people who are going short, are no longer betting against other investors. They're fighting governments and fighting central banks. And, well, I think as someone referred to it last week, that they run the casino, the house makes the rules. So you're betting against the house. And in this type of scenario, the house always wins. So, yes, it is massively inflationary. And, yes, this is a time where volatility is extremely high, and we continue to have a large amount of uncertainty in the market. But where we are starting now to see evidence of money flowing back in is into the commodity sector. There are a number of reasons for that. The first, of course, is that with the amount of borrowing that is going to have to go on to fund any new institution to buy up debt, that is a huge injection of liquidity and is inflationary over the long term. Your dollar will be worth less, it will buy less. They're going to inflate their way out of this problem. So hard assets are going to be the order of the day. Gold had a very good day today, up $27, back above $900. Platinum had an excellent day, up $112. First upward dynamic there, back into the $1,260 level, silver was up over a full dollar. We also saw that soybeans had a good upward dynamic, up 61 cents, bouncing from the lower side of the range. Also, corn very firm. So the raw commodities themselves are doing quite well. Also, copper found support around three, or had found support at $3 a couple of days ago, and it's up to 327, up nearly $10 in here today. The dollar came off quite strongly in here today. Dollar index downward dynamic, upward dynamic in the euro, up over 3 cents, and all of those commodity currencies are also getting stronger against the dollar. Some of them, and I posted quite a few of them in comment of the day today, some of them were quite weak, and they'd had rather exaggerated moves against the dollar over the last 6 or 7 weeks. They now appear to be reversing. And I suppose there is also the realization that among investors that commodities have been beaten down aggressively and they are cheap in here. The Merrill Lynch World Mining Fund is at nearly a 20% discount, and that is rather significant. I talked to one of their managers, well, I talked to Evie Hambro, I think he manages the Golden General Fund, today, and he said that there were a lot of shares they couldn't explain why they were moving because they continue to see excellent value in them, and the performance of the shares in the portfolio is really quite encouraging, but they can't account for how their share price is performing, and he put it down to the fact that there are people continuing to try and raise money out there, and they're selling whatever they've got, and that is driving the fund into an even bigger discount. So those types of things are really quite significant. What we also see is that bonds were down almost a full cent. They're down to 117. So they've pulled back significantly from the high that we had last week. And we also see that the 3 month treasuries or papers is now trading at, I think, 1.7% yield. So it's back above that zero level that we had sometime last week. Looking forward, this remains an extremely uncertain time, and markets are extremely likely to be moved significantly by any statements from Bernanke or Paulson on how they are going to continue to manage this problem that has emerged in, or that continues to roll on in the credit markets. What we are also starting to see is an appreciation of who are going to be the winners and who are going to be the losers. And there is a sneaking suspicion that the regional banks are going to be losers because they'll have greater competition as companies like Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs become banks in their own right. But that is in relative terms. There is a very good chance that the Fed is has is or the sorry the Treasury is going to widen the remit of the kind of debt they're going to be willing to accept, and it will go into not just mortgage bonds, but all types of asset-backed securities, so credit cards, boats, and cars. And that won't be limited to the larger banks. The regional banks will also be able to benefit from that. There was an article I read today saying that a lot of the regional banks still had a lot of their asset-backed securities marked at par on their books, and that they would need to write some of those down. I think that although they're still at par, I don't think there's an investor out there who was actually pricing those banks as if those asset-backed securities were going to be redeemed at par, considering how much those regional banks have fallen. So, yes, we have had a very, very good rally towards the end of last week, and it's pulled back a bit in here today. But I believe that the lows we saw last week are of at least medium-term significant or near to medium-term significance, and we would need to see sustained moves below those lows to offset scope for at least some further higher to lateral ranging. With the dollar, well, we had a concerted effort by central banks to support the dollar 7 or 8 weeks ago, and that support has definitely run out of steam, and commodities are benefiting commensurately. There is going to be a difficult argument for anyone who wants to support a bullish argument for the dollar, considering just how much liquidity is being added into the system and what's going to have to be done to sort out the asset-backed market. So there is potential for the dollar to fall further, but we can also anticipate further measures to prevent a dollar rout. There is nothing to be gained for the US to allow the dollar to disintegrate, and it is certainly within their interests to manage any decline that may occur. So we're probably not going to see a massive acceleration beyond the lows that were put in nearly 2 months ago, but certainly there is further room for the dollar to depreciate. And that is pretty much it for me, but this is going to be a very interesting week, and I look forward to talking with you tomorrow. Have a good evening.